As the Lord may help, I will again direct your attention to the 119th Psalm, verses 92 and 93. Psalm 119, verses 92 and 93. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Our morning discourse was confined to the 92nd verse. We shall not go over this verse again, but with the help of God come directly to the 93rd verse. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. What a statement the psalmist makes here. I shall never forget thy precepts. If this is to be true, it means that the precepts of the Lord had been brought into his soul in such circumstances that caused an indelible imprint to be fixed in his heart, in his mind, in his memory. Now, can we, on our part, say, I will never forget thy precepts? Passages from the Word of God that have guided our ways, that have instructed us in the way that we should go. We find in the 28th chapter of Isaiah that the leadings of God's people are a little and by little, not all at once, but we are continually receiving instruction. Who shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make it to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And then we read this, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line of instruction, here a little and there a little of helps by the way, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now there's a great deal in the description of the pathway of God's children here. It is not always going forward, although we would like to think so. But sometimes there is a falling backward, and sometimes there is a being broken, and sometimes there is a being ensnared, and sometimes there is a being taken captive. But it is all to be discovered in the precept upon precept, the line upon line, the here a little and there a little. In recalling, evidently, the past, the psalmist here says, I will never forget thy precepts. with memories like ours, of which we may sometimes echo the words of the hymn, "My memory bad, but what is sad can folly still retain." Yet the psalmist says, "I will never forget thy precepts." Now, with the help of God, we may look at a few of these precepts which might have come into our lives that are never to be forgotten occasions. Solemn are the precepts of God. They are such declarations of truth that affect our ways. If we consider the statutes of the Lord, then we may regard those as laws which are set by way of which we may have revealed to us wrongdoing. But the precepts we would look at as affecting our lives. Shall we then be in a position this evening to say, "I shall never forget thy precepts which have affected my life. I shall never forget the word of the Lord which has affected my life"? A passage of the scripture which has affected the lives of some is this: "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." It's not in the statute book. It's a precept, a declaration of truth, a warning. What an effect it has had upon some. And upon those that it has had an effect, such will certainly say, "I shall never forget that precept, because it showed to me my present danger. It warned me of eternity. Yea, it warned me of impending doom. It warned me that if I carried on as I was doing and going, the end would be utter destruction. Oh, I shall never forget that precept that brought me to a halt, that stopped me in my course, that caused me to cry unto God. A still small voice spoke to Elijah, 'What doest thou here?' I shall never forget thy precept that spoke to me in such simple terms, 'What doest thou here?'" You know, Elijah on that occasion, he said, "I'm jealous. I'm jealous for the Lord's honor." But all his jealousy did not persuade God to say, "Elijah, you're in your right place." The Lord spoke to Elijah and told him what to do and where he should go. And indeed, he went. You see, he had fled so strong the day before, when he stood upon Mount Carmel and said, if the Lord be God, let him be God. Why halt ye between two opinions? But at the voice of Jezebel, where she threatened to make him as one of the prophets of Baal, he realized that he was no better than his fathers. He couldn't throw a stone. He was as weak as water. What he was by the grace of God. And so he came to this cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Surely, Elijah never forgot the occasion when this precept, the word from the Lord, came to him, What doest thou here? And the strong inference was that you shouldn't be here. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. The effect of certain things may indeed pass away. Such things as here, terrible as they were at the time, yet over a period they lose their intensity. But the still small voice entered into his heart. The strong wind, the earthquake, and the fire did not enter into his heart. They were elements moving round about, circumstances that might fill us with fear. And we might indeed recollect such occasions, but there was a still small voice. And that was a precept that Elijah would never forget. What doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah thought his work was finished. He thought he'd come to the end of all things. Why did God say unto him, What doest thou here? Because there was further work for Elijah to do. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead. I shall never forget thy precepts. We might well say, in connection with Elijah, have we been at a point where we were ready to give up? Where we were ready to say, Let me die. Let me die. The pressures are too great. The situation is too severe. I can stand no more. And God says, What doest thou here? There's work still to be done. And Elijah was compelled to return. I shall never forget thy precepts. Can we find something in our own lives along these lines? I remember an occasion in my life when I was driven to distraction. And so powerful were the temptations of Satan that his whispering in my ear was just about this. You couldn't be worse in hell if you were there. And since it was said to me on a few occasions, I began to believe it. And what a turmoil arose in my heart. How much distress, earthquakes, fire, the wind rending the rocks in pieces seemed to be falling round about me. And as this continued during that day, so I was led to a certain place where I knew that under general circumstances there was much traffic, and I could easily have just walked along the road and across the road, and that would have been the end. Being rushed to the pit of despair nearby, and almost, this I proceeded to do. And having got part way across the road and nothing had knocked me down, I began to wonder. And looking both ways, to my astonishment, there was no traffic on either side, the yards apart. What an escape. But could I say that that was a precept? There was certainly the wind. There was certainly the earthquake. There was certainly the fire. There was certainly the brimstone, as it were, hanging over my head. And so I proceeded home, and I remember it so well, a precept that I shall never forget. It is to be found in the book of Job, which, falling on my knees with the Bible open before me, my eyes fell upon these words. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand upon me and cut me off. Then should I have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. Words of the Scripture, a precept that with the psalmist I shall never forget. But we cannot stay on the negative side, because you must surely ask, how is one delivered from going down into the pit? The next morning, as I proceeded to my place of business, these words dropped sweetly upon my spirit. Not in the Scripture, but supported by the Scripture. 'Tis he in trouble bears thee up. And it was a precept about God, that he bore a person up. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And my burden was gone. I was as a bird let loose, but it was a precept I shall never forget. No doubt you will have a precept that you will never forget. When God wrought a great deliverance and caused you to rejoice in God, who hath done such great things for you. For with them thou hast quickened me. In the first place, referring to the portions I've mentioned already, the soul that sinneth it shall die, was it not a quickening word? Was it not a word which caused us to be concerned about our future state? It may have been a different word in your case, but oh, that it may be a precept that you'll never forget, because it quickened, with them thou hast quickened me. We need the continual work of the quickening Spirit of God. we seem, as it were, to begin to lose power, and we need to be revived. Quickening has this meaning. The church speaks of it with anticipation. Wilt not thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Reviving, quickening. We have it used in that sense in this same psalm somewhere. Quicken me. The psalmist needed that quickening. I will never forget thy precepts. But then, what about the precepts that brings us nigh, that speaks unto us from the ends of the earth, saying, look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. None can save out of this manner. What a blessing and a mercy for us to know God's great salvation. When we are brought to the point in our feelings that nothing can save us. If the Lord no grace will grant, I must lie down and die. Do you remember the precept, the passage of the scripture that brought your attention to your lost state, but then directed your attention to a precious and glorious Saviour? Oh, look unto me. What an invitation. All the ends of the earth. You see, generally speaking, we are not referred to by individual Christian names or surnames in the scripture, because that would be very restrictive. But we are described as characters. And therefore, when this word is heard, all the ends of the earth, how we may respond and say, now that is my character. That is where I am, at the ends of the earth, ready to fall off the edge and to drop I don't know where. I will never forget thy precepts that raised a hope in my soul, that drew me to Jesus Christ. And then we may perhaps say, I shall never forget thy precepts. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Is it a precept? Is it a word from God that we can never forget? When we saw the blessed Lamb of God led forth to be slain, John the Baptist saw him as the Lamb of God. But when he baptized him, do we see him as the Lamb of God offered on Calvary as an acceptable sacrifice? Behold the Lamb of God. It caused two of John's disciples to follow the Lord, to follow the Lamb. Has there been that has caused us to follow the Lamb? Follow the Lamb through the waters of baptism. Follow the Lamb in the fullness of the and intent and meaning of that baptism, the baptism of fire, which came upon the Lord of life and glory eventually, in all its intensity, as he was upon Calvary. I shall never forget. I will never forget thy precepts. This one. For with them thou hast quickened me. The Lamb of God revived my spirit. The Lamb of God gave me hope. The Lamb of God produced in my soul a love, because it seemed to speak to me in these terms, who loved me and gave himself for me. I shall never, oh, I will never forget that precept that showed to me the Lamb of God, that quickened my spirit, that revived my drooping heart, that lifted me up when I was cast down and could in no wise lift myself up. And then I shall never forget thy precepts. The one that spoke to me of the fruit of a suffering Saviour, and that made the testimony of the Lord so valid, I will cast all thy sins into the depths of the sea and will remember them no more forever. Or, as we have it, again, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Such a precept, a word from God, affecting our ways, affecting our lives. I will never forget thy precept that quickened my spirit and brought pardon into my soul and showed to me that pardon was for the vilest of sinners, for the wretched cases. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched. Pardon is for the worst of sinners. And I shall never forget the precept that conveyed it to me, and that brought the life of God into my soul, that gave me not only a living hope, but a lively hope, that enabled me to offer a living and a lively sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. And then there is this precept which God speaks to his children from time to time. I'm only mentioning one here and there. If I do not mention yours, do not be discouraged, because the intent is the same. If the word quickened you, if the word revived your spirit, if the word strengthened your hope, if the word energized your faith, if the word enlarge your heart in love and affection to your Lord Jesus Christ, then will it not be, whatever that passage of Scripture was, a precept that you will never forget? We may think of the occasion when the Lord spoke, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." What a reviving will this have upon our spirits. Now some may say, "I have had such occasions, but I do forget them." Well, now what shall we say to that? We turn our attention to the Gospel according to John, and there we find in the 14th chapter, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And will not this be an occasion that you will never forget. When God rebuked you for fearing that you would not remember what the Lord had done, we have here the assurance of the comfort of the Holy Ghost, the assurance that the Father will send him, that he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, how suddenly the Holy Ghost may come to his temple. Are we sitting desolate? Does all our religion appear to have fled away? Do we seem to be bound up in carnality? And then, I shall never forget that precept that in my desolation and well-nigh destruction, hopelessness, Jesus sent his Spirit to revive me, to lift me up, to put life within, to raise hope suddenly. Yet, when I look again toward thy holy temple, I'm sure it was such an occasion that Jonah never forgot. His very spirit was revived. Though he was in the depths of the sea, though billows and waves went over him, yet there was hope revived in his spirit, despite all his rebellion, despite all his willfulness of going away from God. Yet even that extent of wickedness could not destroy the hope that was in his soul, because he was born again. Oh, I shall never forget. I will never forget the precept that gave me hope when I was at the end, when I said, I'm filled with rebellion and I intend to continue so. God does not allow his people to continue in an evil course. There is a set time to favor Zion. There is a set time to command deliverances for Israel. There is a set time when it will be said to our arch enemy, enough! Enough. God is only to speak one word, you know, to the devil, and he can move no further. Enough. And maybe that will be an occasion that you will never forget, when your spirit was revived, condemned, covered with guilt, as Joshua the high priest was in the prophecy of Zechariah, and Satan standing at your right hand to resist you. We find that the Lord said unto Satan, oh, a precept that I shall never forget. When I could not speak, but the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? To hear these words spoken about you, as the Lord himself takes up your case before Satan. Sometimes we have no words to say. Satan is very crafty and can say sufficient to give us the feeling of guilt. Mingle sufficient truth with lies to make it creditable. But it is the Lord which speaks to Satan, I will never forget thy precepts. When as a silent person the Lord spoke to Satan, and said, "Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And therefore, now since this is so, thou canst have no dominion over this soul, no dominion over this sinner, clothed as he is in filthy garments, yet Satan avaunt, stand off ye foes, in vain ye rail, in vain oppose, your counsel claim no more obstrude, he's mine, I bought him with my blood." Sinner, a precept you'll never forget. Sinner, thou standst in me complete. Though they accuse thee, I acquit. I bore for thee the avenging ire, and pluck thee burning from the fire. There is a looking on sometimes, while the Lord does wondrously. If Satan fixes upon us guilt, if God fixes upon us guilt, then we may be dumb. As we spoke last week, last Lord's Day, I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. But we do read this, a blessed revelation or an instruction, so to speak, to our Lord and Saviour. Open thou thy mouth for the dumb. And the Lord opened his mouth in respect to this poor dumb high priest, Joshua. Do you think that Joshua would forget that occasion? I will never forget that precept that quickened me, that revived my spirit, that cheered my hope, that enlarged my heart, that humbled me before God, especially as this was but the beginning. And we read of what the Lord said to Joshua. He answered and spake unto those that stood by before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment." What God says, he performs. Forever, we read this morning from this psalm, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There is no going back. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Now that was a wonderful experience. Words of the scripture, precepts of the Almighty, never to be forgotten, which quickened and revived the dejected spirit of Joshua. But this was not the end. The angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by." Now we must not and cannot leave this subject, "I will never forget thy precepts," without our making some reference to the ways that are cast up for the people of God. There are ordinances to be attended to. You know, sometimes I fear that the ordinances of God's house are lightly esteemed by some. Well, now God knows the heart. I believe I mentioned this morning that we can so easily misjudge by appearances. Nevertheless, it will not do us any harm to consider the application of the precepts of God's house as to whether we esteem them or whether we despise them. Now you know there's nothing in between. There's nothing in between. If we esteem them, then that means we love them. And if we love them, then surely the time must come when we must put those feelings into action. I've already referred to the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized in Jordan. John was filled with the glory of God. Surely he had seen the Lamb of God. Have you seen the Lamb of God? Has this precept been impressed upon your soul in a never-to-be-forgotten manner? Behold the Lamb of God. Has your spirit been quickened? Has your love been raised up to him? Then there is this precept being laid aside, being left later in life, some other more convenient time. Well, if the precept is not performed, we shall not be able to say, in that connection, I will never forget it. You know, there are those people that have been graciously moved to follow the Lord in the ordinance of believers' baptism who could say, I will never forget thy precepts. One that I well remember passing through this ordinance some 30 years ago now, he said to me afterwards, blessed, that's all he could say, blessed, that's all he wanted to say, blessed. And you never forget that day. I will never forget thy precepts. His soul, through walking in the way of God's precepts, was nourished, was filled with joy, was quickened, was full of liveliness. And then we may well consider the Lord's Supper also. As oft as ye do this, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. We find so often many of the Lord's children greatly disturbed and often saddened because they are at the Lord's table with a hardness of heart when they would have a softness of heart. But can we say, I will never forget the precept. Do this in remembrance of me on one occasion, or perhaps on two occasions over a long period of years, because my very soul was quickened, my heart was filled with contrition